Hey, everybody, and welcome to week 13 of NFL Insights with Brennan Rampe. Brennan went 9-7 last week. He continues to try to stack wins this week. Let's, without further ado, start off. There's a number of stinkers on the schedule, and starting with this one, the 5-7 Falcons welcoming in the 4-7 Steelers. Falcons still contending for a playoff spot despite that record.
Yeah, it could happen, but I don't think it will. The Falcons lost a close one to the Commanders. They always fight. The Steelers had a bit of a shocking win last week over the Colts. I thought Kenny Pickett would struggle against the Colts defense, and I thought that the Steelers defense would struggle, but no, the Steelers defense did a really good job, and Kenny Pickett was way better than Matt Ryan. And I'm sure Steelers fans were very happy to see how Pickett performed. I think it could be a sign of things to come. The Steelers are going to be on the road for a second straight week. The Falcons only scored 13 points in that loss to the Commanders, just despite rushing for over 100 yards. A lot of Falcons fans want to see Desmond Ridder, the third-round quarterback pick out of Cincinnati, because I think they're a bit tired of seeing Marcus Mariota. I think Mariota has been fine this season, but I think they could definitely use an upgrade, but we're not seeing it just yet. It would have been cool to see Pickett versus Ridder, but oh well. I guess I'll take the Steelers here. It's a bit of a toss-up.
Let's go down to Baltimore, where the 7-4 Ravens will welcome in the blech 3-8 Broncos. I'm going to assume that you're going to take the Ravens in this one.
I sure am. When I saw that, when the schedule in its entirety came out in May, I looked at the schedule every single week of the season, and when I saw this game at 1 o'clock, I was like, they'll probably flex it to Sunday night football because I thought that both of these teams would be really good. The Ravens have been living up to the expectations, but the Broncos just might be the most disappointing team in the entire NFL. Russell Wilson has been really bad. Injuries to the offensive line and his and wide receivers are one of the reasons why he has struggled. Also, Nathaniel Hackett is the worst head coach in the league, in my opinion. Jerry Jeudy is listed as questionable and may play, but I don't think it's going to make much of a difference. I'm taking the Ravens to win here. After that defensive meltdown, after that defensive breakdown against the Jaguars, they're going to be motivated to play well on defense, and against the Broncos, they will, and the offense should do just enough to win, so I'll take the Ravens to win this one at home.
Okay, let's check in one of the most storied rivalries in all of sports, as the 3-9 Bears welcome in the 4-8 Packers. Both of these teams pretty much said and done, eliminated when it comes to talking about playoff spots. At this point, it's playing for pride. What do you think is going to go on here?
I remember when the Packers went to Chicago last year, there was that notable Aaron Rodgers moment where he shouted to the crowd, "I still own you." And yeah, he has just dominated the Bears throughout his entire career. He almost never loses to them. Under Matt LaFleur, the Packers, they have never lost to the Bears in the Matt LaFleur era. Aaron Rodgers was dealing with injuries to his thumb. He's dealing with injuries to his thumb and ribs, but he's expected to play this week. The Bears are in a pretty rough state right now. It's not going so well for them. Justin Fields is expected to play, but I'm curious to see how he looks after getting that shoulder injured against the Falcons a couple weeks ago. They lost Darnell Mooney for the rest of the year in that loss against the Jets, and safety Eddie Jackson is out indefinitely. Both of the rookie defensive backs, Kyler Gordon and Jaquan Brisker, are still out. It hasn't been the season the Packers were expecting. They're another team that has been pretty disappointing this year, but against the Bears, it shouldn't be any problem. I'm picking the Packers to beat the Bears once again.
Okay, we got another NFC North team at home, the Lions at 4-7, welcoming in the 4-7 Jaguars. Jaguars coming off of one of their probably best wins of the last three seasons. How do you see this one playing out?
Two 4-7 teams that still aren't eliminated from the playoffs yet. I don't see either a team making it this year, but this should be a fun one. The Lions last played on Thanksgiving, where they gave the Bills all they could handle. And they came so close, but couldn't get the win. They've been competitive in every game this season, pretty much just like the Jaguars, who had a very impressive win against the Ravens. Trevor Lawrence led the Jaguars all the way down the field. They scored. He threw a touchdown pass to Marvin Jones Jr. Then he threw the game-winning two-point conversion pass to Zay Jones. It was really impressive. I thought Justin Tucker was going to be able to pull it off at the end for the Ravens, but no. It was a big win. This is the biggest toss-up of the week for me. Dan Campbell says he's unsure if rookie wide receiver Jameson Williams will play this week. He has returned to practice. He was their second first-round pick in the 2022 NFL draft. Aiden Hutchinson was the first one of their first-round draft picks, and Williams tore his ACL in the College Football National Championship in January. I don't really know his status, but the Lions are pretty good on offense. They've been good on offense all season for the most part, even though he hasn't been playing. I really have no idea. This is the biggest toss-up of the week for me. I guess I'll take the Jaguars. I don't know.
Okay, and in a game where I would have to imagine almost all eyes will be on is the 1-9-1 Texans welcoming in the 4-7 Browns. The Browns will be fronted by the Texans' former standout quarterback, Deshaun Watson. We all know his story. Do you think he immediately steps in and dominates, or how do you see this playing out?
So yeah, the records make this game not look like it's a big deal, but I think this might be the one game everyone's paying attention to the most. The Texans, they're horrible. They're 1-9-1. They switched from Davis Mills to Kyle Allen. It hasn't been working out at all. Neither of them is the long-term answer. They're well on their way to get the number one overall draft pick, which is just what they need, and they need pretty much everything. Deshaun Watson is set to make his first career start for the Browns. Before all the off-the-field stuff happened, he was one of the top quarterbacks in the game, but he hasn't played in about 2 years, so he's probably going to be rusty. But for the Texans, cornerback Derek Stingley Jr. is out, and their best wide receiver, Brandon Cooks, is also out. So he's been away for a long time, but this was a very easy opponent for Deshaun Watson to come back to. Anything can happen in the NFL. Russell Wilson lost to his old team, the Seahawks, in week one, and also in week one, Baker Mayfield lost to the Panthers, but this is the Texans. He might be a little rusty at first, but I think he'll eventually look like the Deshaun Watson we used to see. I'm going to take the Browns here.
Okay, we got rid of a lot of the suckage. We got some good games to talk about now. Let's start with the 9-2 Vikings welcoming in the 7-4 Jets, who are going to be fronted once again by Mike White. What do you see happening here?
I really don't know how this... I don't really know what's going to happen here. The Vikings got the thrilling win against the Patriots. Every win is thrilling except for the week one blowout win over the Packers. But the offense has been great. That's what we all thought. But the defense has been pretty bad, particularly in the secondary. Almost every quarterback has about 300 passing yards against the Vikings. Mac Jones had a career high in passing yards in the loss to the Vikings. He had like 382 yards or something like that. They lost Andrew Booth Jr., a rookie they traded up, I believe, to get from Clemson. He's out for the year, unfortunately. But the good news is the other rookie cornerback they picked, Caleb Evans, should return, and defensive tackle Dalvin Tomlinson should come back. It's a shame that Booth is out for the rest of the year in addition to their first-round pick, safety Lewis Cine, but the two of them should be key contributors to the secondary in the future. Cameron Dantzler is still on IR, but he should be back soon. So yeah, Mike White looked great against the Bears, but they were at home, and it was also the Bears who didn't have Justin Fields, and they didn't have Kyler Gordon or Jaquan Brisker, and also Eddie Jackson left in the middle of that game. Mike White kind of reminds me of Ryan Fitzpatrick a little. I feel like he's the new Ryan Fitzpatrick. In his first career start, he had over 400 passing yards against the Bengals. Then I think they played on Thursday right after that. They were playing the Colts, and he looked really good against the Colts, but then he got injured. Then he played against the Bills, later on in the season, and he threw four interceptions there, and then he looked great against the Bears last week. So you really don't, no one really knows what they're going to get, but the Jets defense is great. It's been good all season long. It's been great all season long. And if the defense plays as well as it has all season long, and if good Mike White shows up, the Jets could definitely win this game, but I'm going to take the Vikings anyway.
Okay, big NFC East battle as the 7-4 Giants welcome in the 7-5 Commanders. Giants started off hot and since have cooled off a little bit.
Injuries have been a large reason as to why that has happened. Rookie wide receiver Wandale Robinson, who was looking really good for the Giants, he unfortunately tore his ACL, and they've been dealing with a lot of injuries on defense and the offensive line, although they are scheduled to get some offensive line help. They activated Ben Bredesen, a guard, off of IR, in addition to defensive back Tony Jefferson and linebacker Azeez Ojulari. And their second first-round pick, Evan Neal, should return to make the offensive line even better. And tight end Daniel Bellinger, a really good-looking rookie, is questionable after missing a lot of time. The Commanders, they're really good on defense, and their offense does just enough to win. Taylor Heinicke always seems to win when he's the starter. That's why he's been named the starter for the rest of the season over Carson Wentz. So they only scored 19 points against the Falcons, but that was enough. The Giants' defense is really good. They were trying their best against the Cowboys. This is going to be a hard-fought game, but I'm going to take the Commanders to win. I think the Giants' collapse continues.
Sorry about that sneeze, everybody. I'm assuming it was audible on mic. Couldn't stop it. 10-1 Eagles welcoming in the 7-4 Titans. This is three good games in a row. How do you see this one unfolding?
So the Eagles had over 360 rushing yards against the Packers. I have never seen anything like that ever. Jalen Hurts was great running it in addition to passing it, and all the running backs were great as well, most notably Miles Sanders. I think he had two touchdowns in that game. The defense, they intercepted Aaron Rodgers twice, but they still gave up 33 points, and despite signing Linval Joseph and Ndamukong Suh, the run defense still remains a little bit of a concern because Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon were looking pretty good out there, and now they're going up against Derrick Henry. But the Titans lost again to the Bengals. I thought they were going to get their revenge, but it didn't happen. Derrick Henry didn't do a whole lot, and their wide receivers and didn't do a whole lot either. And tight end Austin Hooper didn't accomplish much either. In addition to that, they're on the road against the Eagles. Their Eagles are nearly impossible to beat at home and on the road. Their one loss was against the Commanders, but this team is nearly impossible to beat at home. And on top of that, the Titans are missing Denico Autry and Elijah Molden. So the Titans had a two-game losing streak weeks 1 and 2. Then they were able to recover. And I still think the Titans are going to be the AFC South champions, but I think the Titans are about to go on another two-game losing streak. And I'm going to pick the Eagles here in the A.J. Brown revenge game. Although A.J. Brown doesn't really have any bad feelings towards the Titans.
Okay, let's check in with the defending Super Bowl champs, lol. The 3-8 Rams welcoming in the 6-5 Seahawks. I can't recall a fall from grace this severe from a Super Bowl winner since I can't even remember when.
Well, the last defending Super Bowl champion to have a losing record was the 2003 Buccaneers, and I think the Rams are well on their way towards having a losing record. Injuries have played a part in this, but they did let a lot of players go. They let a lot of players walk in free agency, and injuries are a reason why they have been so bad. But honestly, I don't know if things would be better even if these players were playing. They had their chances early on in the season, and they didn't. They weren't winning games. They just weren't getting it done out there. And Matthew Stafford has just been placed on IR. We might not see him again the rest of the season. There's no point in him coming back because they're not making the playoffs. Stafford's out for at least the next 4 weeks, if not the rest of the year. Wide receiver Allen Robinson, who was disappointing all year long, he got placed on IR. He's not coming back this season. It's a season-ending injury. Cooper Kupp remains on IR with a high ankle sprain. And unfortunately, defensive tackle Aaron Donald is missing his first career game due to injury. He also suffered a high ankle sprain. And in my opinion, I think he's going to retire after this season when he came, because he came very close to doing so after winning the Super Bowl. This is just a mess. I hope they enjoyed winning that Super Bowl, because it looks as if many difficult years are ahead for the Rams. The Seahawks lost two straight, and defense was mainly the reason why, but they should be just fine here. I'm picking the Seahawks.
All right. And one of the two marquee matchups at the 4 o'clock hour, we have the 7-4 49ers welcoming in the 8-3 Dolphins. This one looks exciting. 49ers dominant defense going up against the Dolphins aerial attack. What do you think?
This should be a fun one. Kyle Shanahan and Mike McDaniel are going up against each other. Mike McDaniel was on Kyle Shanahan's staff last year, and I think a couple of years before. I think he's been on the staff for a couple of years. So they're going up against each other. Tua Tagovailoa is undefeated in games that he has started, that he has played from start to finish, but there is some offensive line concerns. Tackles Austin Jackson and Teron Armstead are both out. For the 49ers, Elijah Mitchell got injured once again, so he's going to be out 6 to 8 weeks again. And Christian McCaffrey was dealing with knee irritation and wasn't practicing for a couple of days, but he is expected to play. On top of that, they signed cornerback Janoris Jenkins, who I thought was retired, and defensive lineman Arik Armstead is finally going to return after being out for a long period of time. I really don't know what's going to happen here. This looks like a really good matchup. If I had to pick, I'm going to take the Dolphins because of that Tua Tagovailoa streak. So we'll see if it continues.
All right, and another really good game. We have the 7-4 Bengals welcoming in the 9-2 Chiefs. Chiefs got to be looking for revenge for last year's playoffs. What do you think?
Yep, the Chiefs played the Bengals twice last year. The first time was in Cincinnati, week 17, where the Chiefs were up big and then blew it. Then they played each other again in the AFC Championship, which was at Arrowhead that time. They were up 21-3, I believe, the Chiefs, and they blew it there, too. So they always start off great and then can't seem to finish it off. I'm sure they will be looking for revenge, but Tyreek Hill is no longer a part of this team. They've been doing just fine without him, as they're 9-2, but Mecole Hardman remains on IR, and Kadarius Toney is out once again. I'm sure Chiefs fans know how it feels now, after Giants fans experienced the same thing with Toney's inability to stay healthy. So yes, Toney is out. The Bengals are finally getting Ja'Marr Chase back, which should be a huge help to this offense. Joe Mixon is still in the concussion protocol and may or may not play, but Samaje Perine has been doing just fine, filling in for Mixon. This is going to be a hard-fought, high-scoring game, I think, but I have repeatedly stated that the Chiefs are my pick to win the AFC, and I think they'll get the revenge. But even if they do lose this one, I think this is the game, only game left on their schedule that I think they would lose, because right after this game they play the Broncos twice, the Seahawks, the Raiders, and the Texans. So even if they lose this one, I think they would be on their way to being the number one seed in the AFC. So I'm picking the Chiefs.
Let's go to Sin City, where the Raiders at 4-7 will be welcoming in the 6-5 Chargers.
These two teams met week one, and the Chargers won that game, but the Chargers are very much injured. They have been dealing with an insane amount of injuries since that game. They lost left tackle Rashawn Slater for the year. They lost wide receiver Jalen Guyton for the year. They lost J.C. Jackson, this cornerback they signed to a massive deal. They lost him for the year. They lost about three defensive tackles for the year. And wide receiver Mike Williams is out, in addition to offensive lineman Trey Pipkins and Corey Linsley. The Raiders have had back-to-back overtime wins. One was against the Broncos, and then one was an impressive win on the road against the Seahawks, where the Raiders scored 40 points in that game versus the Seahawks. They won 40-34, and Josh Jacobs had over 200 rushing yards, and they put up 40 despite being without Hunter Renfrow and Darren Waller, and those two should be back eventually. So the Raiders, they still have a shot at potentially making the wild card, despite all of the things that have happened to them this season with the blown leads and everything like that. So I'm picking the Raiders to win this one.
All right. I sized this up before we started, and I was assuming that this next game was going to be your lock of the week. And since we only have two games left, I'm going to assume I was right. The 8-3 Cowboys welcoming in the 4-7-1 Colts.
Yes, it is my lock of the week. The Cowboys played the Giants on Thanksgiving. Dak Prescott threw two interceptions, and they won 28-20, but it wasn't really as close as that score would indicate. They did just enough to win. They didn't do much in the first half, and then in the second half things got a lot better. Their defense remains one of the best in the league. They're getting some good injury news. Wide receiver James Washington, who broke his foot in training camp, could come back. That would be another weapon to add to the wide receiver room. And left tackle Tyron Smith, who suffered a really bad hamstring injury in training camp, he could return soon. And of course, an Odell Beckham Jr. visit is going to happen right after this game, the day after this game. He already visited with the Giants and Bills. The Cowboys are up next. We're going to wait and see what happens. I ultimately think he will sign with the Cowboys, which would make them the number one team in the NFC, in my opinion, over the Eagles. The Colts are, they're another team that was really disappointing this year, or that is really disappointing this year. The belief was that when they traded for Matt Ryan, that he would be an upgrade over Carson Wentz and they would get to the playoffs, but that doesn't look like it's going to be happening. Matt Ryan got benched for Sam Ehlinger, which was very foolish. That resulted in Frank Reich getting fired. I still think Reich could be a good head coach somewhere. But if not, he could definitely be an assistant in the league somewhere. But then they hired Jeff Saturday, who wasn't even on the coaching staff and whose only coaching experience, I think, was high school and maybe one college somewhere. I don't remember. But they got that one win against the Raiders, and then they've lost two straight after that, I believe. So yeah, the Colts can't keep trading and signing old quarterbacks that are near the end of their careers. They have to go to the draft to get someone, and perhaps that'll happen. But yeah, the Matt Ryan just looks finished, and I expect a really rough performance from him against the Cowboys defense. I'm picking the Cowboys to win this one.
All right, and let's wrap it up with a very lackluster Monday night game. The 5-6 Buccaneers welcoming in the 4-8 Saints. I know Brady has had his problems with the Saints in the regular season. Do you think that continues, or what's your story?
We'll see. Anything can happen in divisional games. The Buccaneers were almost about to beat the Browns. They were leading 17-10 with about a minute and 30 seconds left, but then Jacoby Brissett threw a touchdown pass to David Njoku on like a 4th-and-9. Then they couldn't finish the game with about a minute left. They couldn't finish it off, the Buccaneers. Then it went into overtime, and they couldn't get it done there. This team is 5-6. I didn't think that this is the record they would be having by week 13, but that's what's going on. They still play in the NFC South, so it's a pretty weak division, and they can definitely still make the playoffs. I think they will, but I hope they don't have a losing record and get in like the Washington football team, now the Commanders, did in 2020. They'll probably be 9-10-7 or 9-8, but they have lost to the Saints two years in a row at home with Tom Brady. They lost in a blowout in 2020, and then They lost in a defensive battle last year, both on Sunday Night Football. They lost in the blowout in 2020, and then they lost 9-0 in 2021. And the Saints lost 13-0 to the 49ers last week, but they held the 49ers defense to 13 points. It was just the offense that couldn't do anything. A lot of people want Jameis Winston to start again, but that doesn't seem to be happening yet. I just don't really know if I can trust the Buccaneers this season. Every time I pick them, they seem to lose, and they have difficulty with the Saints. They got the win against them week two, but the Saints will, despite being 4-8, they'll probably want to get the win against the Buccaneers. These two teams don't really like each other. I'm going to pick the Saints here.
All right, there you have it, folks. Let's see how Brennan does this week. Don't forget to follow him on Twitter at PhDinNFL and check out his columns as well as all the other great content over at QBList.com. And happy betting.